Go the Rams. Bah!
Adelaide to bring it out from their own line. And met by some very willing Auckland defence. And pushed back a couple of metres. Kieran Walters just goes from dummy half to pick up Darren Doherty. Doherty, 25 metres out from his own line.
As now the Adelaide Rams make their way out onto Marathon Stadium for the first time.
Hello and welcome to the Rampage League podcast. And I was going to say, we've got a really good panel in the studio tonight, but we seem to be down a member, Simon.
Yeah, so Shay's off sick. She's in bed with some chicken noodle soup. She'll be listening to this, but she's. I hope she's in bed, not watching, I don't know what she watches on TV, Vanderpump Rules or Beverly Hills Housewives of, I don't know. Yeah, so I hope she's asleep in bed.
But we do have another very good presenter, Holden the Bull. Welcome to the Rampage League podcast.
Howdy. How are you guys all going? Yeah, thanks again for having me. And I'm looking forward to sort of digesting the games that just sort of happened. So we'll get into it, I suppose.
Definitely. I'm actually nervous having you on because I respect you so much. So I actually feel like I'm in the presence of like royalty to hold the ball. So yeah, I'm a bit nervous today, so we'll see how we go. But thank you once again for joining.
No worries.
All right, so we might start off with our review of the finals, week one of the finals. The first game was Friday night. I'm trying to remember. It was so long ago. It feels like, yeah, Friday night, Suncorp. The Broncos versus the Storm.
Lovely shot here on the Harvey Norman replay. It's Mitch Kenny. He got out from dummy half. Just watch all these runners pour into holes. Defenders in, creates overlap. And Taruva, wow, what a finish that is. Smart too. He went for the corner. He went for the ground early.
Another lovely combination. Cleary punching through into the open. Drag down from behind. Tomato Martin and Ilan Walker and Adam Pempe. And what a tackle. Well, that sums up the defensive superiority of the Panthers. And how excited are they? Look at them. Cleary came rushing in. Don't you think they've went through enough? Sorry.
We just parted here.
He's buried. Built into a hole. Gatlin gets it. Back on the inside to Weger and scoots it away. They've got one. They've kept punching away the Warriors and they're on the ball.
Here we go. Barnett goes to the line. Plenty of Panthers in there, but the late offload. And Egan just dishes it straight off to Curran. And then Rocco Berry and Dallin Watene to Lesnar. We've seen that so many times this year. And he throws it in. He saw jerseys, white jerseys everywhere. And end up being Wade Egan, once again, is supported again. That's what we spoke about at the start of the game. They need to offload. They need to back themselves. And they did that to score the try there first.
3 metres out now. Peachy spins it. Yo goes to Cleary. A set up and overlap and to Broome. Still get another one. It's pretty to watch when they get it right.
On the Harvey Norman replay, the ball goes out the backs. Just watch Critter. Just holds the ball long enough. Goes underneath the hands of the winger, Dallin Watene-Zalesnia. It's brilliant centre play.
I did, mate. And the tackle was through my wheels.
Well, the boys are doing good stuff. Clear into the hole and a try to the local hero.
Just watch him, Harvey Norman replay. Gets the ball in the middle of the field. I'll show again to the outside. And everyone just hangs off him. And you just cannot afford to ball watch the quality players in this competition.
And that's the end of the game. The Panthers dominant.
Can they make it three titles in a row? If they keep playing like this, absolutely. 32-6 over the Warriors.
What's your thoughts? Hold the ball.
Yeah, look, going into this game here, I actually tipped the Storm to win this. I was really enamored with the whole record, you know, that long record that the Storm seems to produce. And I just thought they'd be able to back it. Now, this game overall was obviously completely flipped. It was a very dominant, strong display. And again, granted, the weather wasn't the best sort of weather for footy. So kudos to the Broncos who absolutely brought it. They were strong defensively, offensively. They could do no wrong. I'd probably say it was probably their most perfect game of the season, to be fair. Had they played their final, I don't know. But anyway, I'll leave that for another conversation. But I just thought they were so good compared to the Storm, who just unfortunately just couldn't meet the challenge.
Yeah, I think was it Cameron Munster? He came out afterwards and said they were dog shit. So
yeah,
from to say that, it was pretty bad. So with the weather, I'm pretty sure that it was a hailstorm was meant to come too. They're talking about maybe like postponing the game until after the storm came. So the weather was a big thing. And they still had a massive crowd there, which is good. But yeah, I didn't expect that from the Storm. Craig Bellamy did not look happy at all. It just wasn't a Storm-like. The Broncos, they were flawless, really, weren't they? Like, maybe they've played their final. Maybe that's can they back it up in the prelim? We'll find out. Couple of weeks, I guess. You think that, Darren?
I would. I was so surprised because we had my tip was for the grand final was Panthers and Storm, and now that's kind of thrown
it's gone. Yeah,
it's gone. Yes, yeah. So hopefully they can back it up.
Yeah, I don't think the Storm will play that like that again. We'll get in preview about that, but they don't really have a two bad games. Like Bellamy, he'd be ripping them apart, and I think Cameron Munster was really quiet, and I don't think he'd be doing that twice. So.
No, that's right, exactly.
So we'll move on to the next game, which was I did not see this coming at Blue Bet on Saturday. It was Panthers versus the Wires.
Tim Mander and first receipt of the ball down in the southeastern corner for the Warriors, 10 meters out from their own line as it comes across and through Guttenbeel originally. Plays it back for Pritis and Gowers, 9 meters out. So is Campbell. So is Fatawira. Lewis for the corner. And over. Lewis has scored the first try of the day. No examination from the video referee. Tim Mander points to the spot, 4-0 after 11.
Finally turned pressure into points, and I've got to say it's a bad read here from the winger, Francis Melling. They come wide. Stacey Jones was looking to slide.
22 metres out from the touchline for Ryan Girdle. It's on its way. He's pulled it around. So no addition, just the try for Luke Lewis. And Ethan, of course, was kept out of the festivities last year with that broken leg. Here's Gower making a clean break, picking up Wessa. Wessa finds Sattler. Sattler's not Hill. Gives it back to Wessa. And Wessa is tackled 5 metres out on the fifth tackle. Gower looks for a running Joe Nullivau, and he's Hill. Gee, that was great defence online from New Zealand.
Yeah, how did they stop Nullivau there?
35 metres out from the line, Jones comes into it now. Then for Webb, and then it goes back to Lalatiti. It wasn't a good pass. He did well to handle it. Got the ball away for Anderson. Anderson beats one. He'll go all the way. Loses the ball. He was over and lost it, and Daniel Anderson, his namesake and coach, knew it. 8 metres off the goalposts as Beetham goes to dummy half, and Jones, Jinkson goes back in for Guttenbeel. Guttenbeel is tackled at the line just a couple of metres away, and then Beetham tries to charge over. Ball back to Lulawai. Lulawai back to Webb. Webb gets it back now for Corby. They're over the line. Beautiful ball movement. Logan Swan is in, is it?
It is Logan Swan.
Logan Swan has scored again in the finals.
That is the Warriors at their best. Bill Gould, spot on, warming to their task. They back themselves. Look at the one-arm passes in this play.
Come on, let's put some boot to ball. Time is back on. There's the kick from Webb, sailing around and missing. 4 points all after 24 minutes. The uprights are 7 metres away as Pritis goes back and finds Waterhouse. He goes back. Here's Wessa. Wessa's over. There's Penrith's second try. Reece Wessa is over. It is 8 points to 4 after 31 minutes.
And Reece Wessa, from that distance, is lethal. But give a big rap here to Trent Waterhouse. Off the bench, he's a good kid. Two defenders coming in, offloads. In fact, three went in. Richard Villasandy got interested.
The Warriors are playing with fire at the moment. If I was their coach, I couldn't wait to get him into the dressing room, put a rocket in him.
So Girdler converts. The Panthers go to a lead of 6 points. It is 10 points to four, the Panthers at the moment. In fact, 20 metres out from the Penrith line. Then from Mealy, it's gone across for Jones and a short border. Lauatini, Villasandy. Villasandy is over the line. Did he get the ball down? Let's have a look at it. Stretching.
Nah, it's try.
There's enough of it there for mine.
No doubt.
There's some lime on that football.
10 all as we go to the break. He's short there, but momentum puts the point of the football onto the line.
So we wait for the result to come down from Mick Stone and Eddie Ward. And it's a try to Richard Villasandy. Well, what a year he's had.
They run good lines here, right? They come straight. He frees it there. Here's this man. He's actually coming back at the defence. And then there'll be support on the outside. Coming back, you expect left to right. They're coming right to left at you as play continues. And that's difficult. There he is coming back. All of a sudden, you've got to try and adjust your defence. And when players are coming at you at speed, it's difficult to make the tackle. Jones is so good at it. The short offload there to Lauatiti. You've got to go high on Lauatiti. Rodney Wetlow, you've really got to attack the football first and then worry about stopping the man second.
There's the kick from Webb from right in front. And we are back at 10 points all now. Deadlock to 10 all, Andrew. 10 out from the line. There's a warrior herd. It's Villasanti. Now it's with Prittis. Then to Campbell. Campbell double pumps it. And Ross is tackled 2 metres out from the line. Way back to Prittis, and Prittis will go in. Luke Prittis is in. Third try of the day for the Panthers.
Well, what a crazy start to this second half. Marcus getting out too quickly, splitting. And Stacey Jones was never going to be able to stop Luke Prittis on his own from there. You've got to stay down low with the man, and you don't move until he's thrown the football. The most dangerous man on the field is the man with the football in his grasp, and that was Prittis.
Yeah, they overread it badly. They were short.
14 to 10. Well, you're obviously not talking to me if you're calling me baby. There's the kick by Girdler converting. It's 16 to 10. The Panthers to the ground, 20 metres out. Good work by the Panthers. Nice ball movement. Then for Gower. And he goes high and he goes across towards Fafili's wing. Oh, Rooney. That might be play on. I think this might be a try for Girdler. It seemed to come off his legs. That is not a knock on. Did it go back off the wing of Rooney? Luke, a kick, Peter.
Yeah, onside. Luke Rooney, very good under the high ball. In fact, all four wingers out there this afternoon are. But Rooney, he's just grabbed it, realised it's the last tackle. He's got to get it back. And I think it has gone back. The hands are away from the football. Girdler, great presence of mind to realise, don't knock on this, keep it on the toe. That's a try.
Well, the thing about it is he hasn't dropped it, he's passed it. And the video referee cannot rule on a forward pass. He catches it, and it will be a passing motion. It's a passing motion, therefore it cannot be a knock-on rule on by the video referee. Girdler does well. Composure. Class there. In a tight game, an important moment.
Green lights in the background over the frame of John Lane. And the Panthers now looking comfortable at 20 to 10. Conversion attempt for Ryan Girdler. Strikes it, and it is there. So the Panthers boot out to 22 to 10 now. 54th minute. 29 metres out from the line. Jones for Motu Tony. Tony is away. He beat Gower. He comes to Wessa. Loses the ball. No, he doesn't. It goes back to Jones. Jones to Pompey. Oh, that is brilliant. Did he get the ball down? Did he get the ball down?
Going hammer and tongs.
And this is the put down.
Oh, yeah, it's down.
He put it down 10 minutes ago.
Who's that?
This might be an 8-point try.
Well, I think Torpy threw the first one. Although, yeah, I think there was an accidental touch from Luke Prittis, which Torpy misconstrued, and then threw a punch. Have a look at Luke Prittis here. He just gets a touch there. Torpy reacts really against nothing. I think it's just a try and play on, kids.
You scored the try and you carried on with it. Okay, now listen. Don't think just because you scored a try and it's open slow that you can do what you want. Okay, that's totally unnecessary. And Luke, don't take it in your own hands. We'll look after it. Okay, now listen. We've got a great game here. Little things like that are going to cause penalties and could sway the game. Wait for a moment. Let's keep control of ourselves, and that is totally unnecessary. The try's been scored. There's no problems there. Keep your hands to yourself. Okay, let's go.
So you're saying, Tim, you can punch on up the end
of the game. It was minor. It was minor.
The exchange between Tony, well, there's the try being awarded officially. There's no problems there. If you're a Warriors supporter, you've got yourself 4 points. Let's go through it, though. This last exchange between Jones and Tony is most interesting. Tony.
Don't forget, this is last tackle, and again, it's come from nothing. The pass and that one, just top draw. Now, a huge kick coming up for Brent Webb.
Well, just for a moment, I thought Tony might have lost the ball, but no, he intentionally passed it, and then Jones somehow or other found Torpy out. They are both desperate for a grand final berth. Webb is 20 out. He's 12 in from touch. This one he hits, and hits it just across the face of the uprights. So it is 8 points the margin. 1 hour of the game is gone. And a converted try here would just about seal it. Nalabau has scored. Penrith are over again. 26-14. Girdler will attempt conversion.
Yeah, you asked Joe Nalabau whether he liked having the week off. He's a guy who couldn't walk from the field against Brisbane, and now he's done what he's done all season. Busted into people, come out the other side, slams the football down. He's been very instrumental in the good things that have happened at Penrith this year, and he's brushed through Torpy and Jones to maybe score the match winner.
One of Penrith's heroes, Ryan Girdler, from 12 in from touch, and that looks good. Flags are up, and the hopes of the Panthers are up as well. 28 points to 14.
Which is quite remarkable. And they've only conceded one second half here as well, so they are defending beautifully, although Melly
has found an opening. They've got support. Here they come, the Warriors. They're over. The fullback is in, Brent Webb. Right under the crossbar. It's not over yet, Peter.
No, that just shows. Forget statistics. Don't worry about statistics. Doesn't matter what they've done the last three games. What they're doing now is up against a desperate football team who is going to ask questions. And Francis Melly, who's had a fairly unfortunate afternoon, comes up with a good step around Joe Nalabau. Look at the support. He's got Torpy on the far side, Webb on this side. Four's about to become six. It isn't over.
14 in 14 minutes is now going to become 8 in about 12 minutes. And I think that this young man will have the quickest conversion kick of his life. Have a look at this. He doesn't need to take 3 minutes for a kick. He's ready in 22.1 seconds. World record, personal best, 2 points.
It's a PB for Brent Webb. But what scintillating attack it was. Francis Melly, I thought he might have left his best run about 3 weeks ago. Again, Rodney making the tackle. Then it's Torpy. The ball may have been touched by Penrith. They've come back with the ball, though. Was there an advantage for the Warriors? Rodney's with the ball now.
Well, the advantage was that Clinton Torpy flicked it out the back and it went straight to Rodney. All academic now. Luke Prittis, fitting that he's going to get the ball away to Preston Campbell. And that will be it.
Siren in the background. The second preliminary final is over and it's been won by Penrith, defeating the New Zealand Warriors.
Panthers 32-6. I would love to hear what you've got to say about this on the ball.
Yeah, look, I came to this game here. I was actually a bit cautious, to be fair. I was a bit reserved because, obviously, you know, I go for the Warriors, but at the same time as well, you've just got to look at the Penrith Panthers and how dominant they are. And look, I thought we would probably win this game, but I thought it would be a bit of an arm wrestle, and oh boy, was I wrong. Obviously, the Panthers were way too good on this occasion here, and just to sort of steal a phrase here used by the Warriors coach, or the Warriors coach, if you will, saying that the Panthers were taught a footy lesson by the Penrith Panthers, and that's probably the best way to sum it up. Offensively, again, Cleary was just leading that ship there, and Cogger doing well, you know, despite Luai's absence. I thought the Panthers forward pack were just so dominant. Again, Yotta there was trying to cause a niggle there with Adam Fanua-Blake, and unfortunately AFB couldn't meet the challenge there, but the Warriors were just outclassed, outpaced. Fatigue was definitely a factor there for us. I'm just surprised at how slow we sort of looked. It was just the Penrith Panthers are showing their pure dominance, and I don't like saying this, but they put us in our place there. So that's just a reality check, and that's just the way it went.
Yeah, saying that, I think it's the big thing, I think, for the Warriors, or the Wires, was not having Sean Johnson there was a big out.
Yeah.
But also having Tiamari Martin, he was his second game back from, he hadn't played since round six. So, and having him and Dylan Walker in the halves, not really ball-playing kind of halves, so like Dylan Walker's more runner, same with Martin. So they didn't have that direction that they had with Sean Johnson. So, like, Wade Egan played well, but, like, yeah, like, it's a big out having Sean Johnson out, I think.
Yeah,
I'm hearing he hasn't trained with their team this week all week, so still in a little bit of doubt. But if he plays, it'd be like a totally different team for the Warriors. So
yeah,
fingers crossed.
Agreed.
But yeah, the Panthers. They that was one of their best games of the season. My wife was very happy with that. She almost ripped their roof off, screaming and yelling. Yeah. But yeah, the Warriors. That's the best thing about top four. They get a second chance, and they play against the Knights, so that'd be a good game this week. Darren, do you have anything to add about the Panthers-Warriors?
I thought Panthers would win, but I was hoping for a bit more of a competition from the Warriors, and so I'd like to see them go deep into the finals. And
Yeah. I think everyone I know is behind the Warriors. Everyone's jumping on them, which is good because, every year you kind of see the same kind of teams in the top four, and the Warriors have kind of come from nowhere to be a really big contender for the title. So up the Wires, I say. Up the Wires.
Yeah.
I'll move on to PointsBet Stadium. The Sharks played the Roosters. What was your thoughts on this one, Hold the Ball?
Yeah, look, I was going to say it was probably the upset of the, you know, matches, but obviously Broncos winning in the fashion they did, you know, probably took a little bit away from that. But look, it was just a pure slugfest, I thought, from both these teams here. Again, Roosters just somehow, you know, despite their injuries, and they do this consistently year in, year out, despite their injuries, they just somehow managed to just creep in the eight, and they just seem to just somehow stick it in there. Look, I know it's a bit of a big statement to make, but the Sharks had no right to lose that game. They really didn't, and they did. And again, obviously, more problems there. A lot of people looking at Hines, perhaps, you know, the back line, so on and so forth. But again, just kudos to the Roosters who stuck in there. Joseph Manu, I thought, was good for them. Radley, Collins, you know, I love watching him play. But again, just a good team effort there. Tedesco as well. Yeah, you'd be absolutely fuming if you're a Sharks fan, but if you're a Roosters fan, again, you live to fight another day. But I'm just really, I just like seeing the Roosters sort of show a bit of fight there. And yeah, good game to watch overall.
100%. So what I seen with the game, obviously Sharks home ground, they had a big crowd there, and they it was pretty close early on, and then Tedesco got sent to the bin, and they I think they butchered like two tries the Sharks when he was off. They could have put it to bed really there. He came back on, and then they got it back to 12-all, and then they got the ball, they get a penalty, they went down the field, and they weren't setting up for a field goal. They kind of would shift left, shift right, and like, what is going on? And I was frustrated going, he's going to kick a field goal. What are you doing? And then they make a mistake or something. And then Sam Walker nails one straight away. And then they get back, and then they miss two field goals. And I'm like, what's going on here? Like, they had no right to lose this. They had, like, an extra player for 10 minutes. They had all the ball. And then, yeah, the Roosters just, they held in there, and Sam Walker nailed the field goal, and that's it. See you later, Sharks, till next year. You know, like, you couldn't feel sorry for them. Do you have anything to add, Darren, on
the Sharks-Roosters
game?
No, but I'd have to agree mostly with you, yes, yeah.
And then on Sunday game, the Knights versus the Raiders. And I said this in last week's preview. I'm like, the Raiders will win field goal by Jamal Fogarty. Oh, God. Fogarty couldn't kick a field goal to save his life, could he? Hold the ball. What was your thoughts on this game?
Oh, look, just speaking of Jamal Fogarty, I thought some of his issues during the season were highlighted in this game even more so. Just the way, you know, the fifth tackle options, kicking it out there, that, you know, or kicking it on the try line. For just I don't know. Anyway, look, this game here for mine, obviously we as 40 fans, I think we love the high, you know, high scoring games, but I don't think the coaches do, because that means DFS has been thrown out the window, and that's quite literally what we've seen here again. Five tries apiece as well. But look, I thought the Knights key players, Ponga, right, yeah, guy, especially Young, they sort of stood up to the forefront, and there were definitely in the charge there. Again, you can't really fault the Raiders, really, at all. I really thought they threw everything they did, and they nearly stole the game from the Knights, who I think a lot of us had winning, a good majority of us fans had winning. So the fact that the Raiders nearly got there in the end, is full credit to them. But again, I just feel like, as you touched on, Jamal Fogarty in key moments there when you need a halfback to stand up and to perhaps give the right play, or for example, get the ball in or kick it in anyway for a goal. Just couldn't provide that. And I think that was probably the difference between the two teams. But again, good sort of game to end the round.
Yeah, I definitely agree with everything you said there. My big point was in the extra time, Jack Whiten hit Kalen Ponga high and he went down.
Yeah.
Yep. Should he have gone off for a HIA? I'd love to hear your thoughts. He was down, he looked a bit out of it, and then he got up and he kicked the goal to win the match. Should he have been taken off, or should he have been left on?
Oh, look, it's one of those ones. I almost feel like when it comes to finals footy, the lines sort of blur, right? Yeah. They sort of blur. What is usually black and white is grey. Yeah, look, I think in technicality he should have been, but I understand the fact that he wasn't. Yeah. It didn't look good, to be fair, because he did look a bit limp there, but, you know, like a few seconds, and he sort of comes back to life. But yeah, look, he should have been, but he isn't, and he just it is what it is.
Yeah. So yeah, I think the Knights will be happy they got away with that, because they could have lost that quite easily. With Tom Starling scoring in the 77th minute, and then that was the best part of the game, because like it was kind of the game was over. You're like, oh, the Raiders have scored. It's 28-all. This is interesting now, because yeah, the Raiders, I don't think they'll go that good next year losing Jack Whiten. I think that's a big out from next year.
It is, yes.
They haven't got, so Matt Frawley's going to Super League, and they're losing Jared Croker. Who's going to be their halves? Who's going to be their halves next year? Jamal Fogarty, obviously, but who's going to be their 5'8"? Xavier Savage has been playing reserve grade all year. He's a great fullback. Is he going to come in next year? Like, Ricky Shield, what are you doing? What are you doing, Ricky?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. All right, so that was the review. I want to talk about, back to Friday night, one of our favourite players on the Rampage League podcast, it was Ryan Papenhuyzen.
So guys, I got this mate who won't let his girlfriend out of his sight. Like, she's allowed to go to soccer training, but she can't be late home, otherwise he full-on loses it. I want to say something. I'll reach out for some advice before I speak to him.
After inspirationally making his way back from a gruesome knee injury, Ryan Papenhuyzen has once again been helped from the field in confronting scenes.
Oh, oh goodness me. Oh, my goodness. Oh, this is terrible. This is Ryan Papenhuyzen. If anyone in our game does not deserve this, it is that man, Ryan Papenhuyzen.
Double two, Tom.
Terrible, terrible.
Well, if that is so, if it is that is off the back of what he's just overcome. It's a horrible moment for the game.
Yeah.
It really is. It is.
The game is lost.
Devastating.
The Melbourne Storm haven't lost. The game has just lost.
He has been such a star. Like, he would be distraught over what has happened to Ryan Papenhuyzen, Craig Bellamy.
When he went down injured with the ankle, oh my God, I swear, my heart skipped a beat. I was like, oh no. It's another Drew Yowie. Remember when he got his ankle
in the fire?
I'm like, no. Just got back. And Big Nelson, Asafa Solomon, I probably butchered that name. He lands on you, he's going to break your bones. Or Paps. What was your thoughts on the ball on Ryan Papenhuyzen?
Yeah, look, I think it's fair to say that a lot of us Leeds fans have become emotionally connected to the journey that little puppy, if you will, has gone through Pappenhausen. You know, obviously we'll all run the ups and downs, and you know, he's such a positive figure in the game, and very good player too. Yeah, look, when he got injured, I was devastated. I was really just hoping, you know, like in that situation there, I suppose the other question you ask is how bad is it, you know, and can it be like the least amount of, you know, I suppose, damage possible when someone as big as Nass sort of lands on you. But yeah, devastated, but yeah, apparently it's not great, but apparently it could have been worse.
It's so I'm just thankful that six screws in a plate. So
yeah.
Oh, but they said he'd be back for pre-season, which is good.
Yeah, very good.
I think he's a big role model for young kids.
Oh, absolutely.
He never
yes. does.
You never see him really doing anything wrong. He's just he's a footy player, does his footy, and he a lot of people have grown mullets to try and be like him. And I reckon a lot of kids would have been upset to see him injured. I remember the next day I woke up and I'm like checking the news to see is there an update on Paps, how's yes. he going? And the wife was like, you've heard about Paps? And we're like, wait, and like it was like more important than the election, like Paps, how's he going?
Yes, I was devastated because I watched the game and I was absolutely devastated when he went down. And yeah.
It was good to see some of his players, like Storm players, get around him and console him. I think it was Jerome Hughes was there holding him for a while.
Yep.
Reece Walsh came over. But Jerome Hughes, I had a lot of respect after seeing him do that because I guess a team sport, when you get injured like that, you kind of all feel alone, don't you? You sit on the ground in a lot of pain, you just feel alone. So it's just good to have one of your teammates there helping you out, which is which is great to see. So well done, Storm, for that. So we'll move on from Paps because that's brought us down, hasn't it? We're all sad now that Paps is out. Hopefully, send him good vibes his way and he gets recovered and we'll see him next year scoring plenty of tries and kicking goals.
Absolutely.
Other big thing on the weekend, I found this so funny when I found it on Facebook, was Valentine Holmes with his vodka crew in his mouth, a hand and his little bag of dishwashing liquid or powder or sherbet in his mouth.
We grow organically here at Boonluck, and we pick when the plants are at their peak. This approach is great for soil and for country. If I can treat those ingredients in the kitchen as well as I do out in the farm, we're winning.
Valentine Holmes under investigation by the NRL after a photo posted to his social media account, Michael.
Yeah, Valentine Holmes spoke to the NRL Integrity Unit today about that photo that surfaced over the weekend. Now, the NRL want to get this closed in the next couple of days. Now, I think you'll find that Valentine Holmes is facing a hefty fine at the very least and the potential to face a couple of games of suspension as well. Now, there's been similar incidents in the past. I think Melbourne Storm, Brandon Smith and Cameron Munster, they served 2-game bans for an incident a couple of years ago on Mad Monday. The conversations the NRL are having now, regardless of what was in that photo, what was in the bag, the look for the game isn't good. The reputational damage for the game is there, and bringing the game into disrepute is something the NRL can punish players for. Do you see Valentine Holmes, if he is punished, is that a fair outcome for what was posted?
I think so. I mean, at the end of the day, as you said, we don't know what was in the bag. We all think we may know. We may have an assumption of what it is, but the fact is we don't know for sure. But it is pretty damning. The photo's absolutely damning. It's not a good look for him. It's not a good look for the game. And I imagine it'll be a big fine. Look, when you consider Mitchell Pearce copped a $120,000 fine, apparently he can't get fined that much anymore, but you'd think this is exceeding that.
Hold the ball. What was your thoughts when you heard about this?
Simply the why. Why? Like... Why? Why on earth would you think that's a good thing to do? Prank or not, according to him, it was a prank, but prank or not, why would you even do that?
This is stupid.
It boggles my mind.
Yeah.
It's particularly a high-status player like himself.
And he's been around long enough. He knows. Yeah, it's not like he's a young bloke who's just done something stupid. He knows better. And to be a prank, it's just stupid. And I would love to be a fly on the wall when his coach or the Cowboys manager rang him up and said, Val, what the F is going on here?
Yes, definitely.
Oh, yeah, so that was quite interesting. What was your thoughts, Darren, did you see it?
As you said, he's been around for a long time, and sadly we've had other incidents with other players in doing similar things. So he's seen what's happened to those players, and then he goes out and does it himself. It's just...
So was it Brandon Smith and Cameron Munster a few years ago?
Yes,
they were caught doing something. And it kind of, they never got in real big trouble. I felt like they should have got smashed for that. It doesn't send a right message. They're role models when it comes to it. They're role models for kids. Kids watch rugby league. They have their jerseys. They see Val Holmes doing that. As much if he thinks a prank, it's just stupid because now kids, they think it's cool, like drugs, whatever. It's not a good message for kids and for parents. I thought it was very stupid, and I hope he comes out and makes up for it. But glad I'm not a Cowboys fan because I'm going to be giving a lot of shit to Cowboys fans for the next 12 months about Val Holmes. All right, we'll go for a quick break, and we'll come back with the preview for round two, the finals, week two. Be right back.
Welcome to Osport Radio's Sports Morning Show, where we bring you all the latest updates, analysis, and exciting discussions on the world of sports. I'm your host, Darren. I'll be your guide through this jam-packed sports extravaganza. Every Monday morning, we'll be diving headfirst into the thrilling world of sports, covering everything from football to basketball, rugby to tennis, and everything in between. We'll provide you with extensive coverage of the major leagues, big tournaments, and breaking news, delivered with the perfect mix of expertise and entertainment. But this show is not just about the professionals. We want to hear from you, the passionate sports enthusiasts. We value your opinions, so don't hesitate to call in, tweet, or send us a message via the Viva text line on 0411983050, and you can also use that number to give us a call. We want this show to be a platform for lively discussions and friendly debates, so get ready to have your voice heard. Of course, we'll also have captivating interviews with athletes, coaches, and sports experts who will provide us with exclusive insights into the world behind the games. From inspirational stories to behind-the-scenes secrets, we'll make sure you don't miss out on anything. And let's not forget about the incredible music lineup we have in store for you. We've got the perfect tunes to get you pumped up and ready for any game, whether you're in the stands or cheering from your living room. So join us every Monday morning from 7 a.m. till 9 a.m. as we turn up the volume on the world of sports. Get your coffee ready, put your favorite sports jersey, and let's embark on this thrilling journey together. Strap in, because it's going to be an unforgettable ride. Remember, this is your show, so let's make it a fantastic one. Let's get ready to unleash the power of sports on the airwaves. Welcome to Osports Radio's Sports Morning Show.
Go the Rams, bye!
We're back on the Rampage League podcast. It's Simon holding the ball and Darren tonight. We unfortunately don't have the company of Shay. She's in bed sick tonight, so we send her the best. And we're going to take a look at week two of the finals.
Yeah, week two. So Friday night at Amy Park, the Storm versus the Roosters. Should be a good game. Hold the ball. What's your thoughts on matchup?
Yeah, look, I suppose a lot of us league fans sort of know this, right? The Storm really string together two poor performances, all right? I just probably need to clear that up straight off the bat. But look, I think this will be a very, I don't know, I would like to see the Roosters bring a bit of fight, but I almost feel like they, to coin the term, played their grand final against the Sharks. That's what I feel like. I really feel like the Storm are going to come in this game here very, very dominant. Again, Justin Olam is in. That's a huge addition to their squad. And like you touched on before, like Cameron Munster, right? He was not pleased with his performance and the general performance of the team. So I expect him and Hughes to absolutely be ready to go guns blazing in this game here. I don't know. Like, yeah, my thoughts on this game here. Good luck to the Roosters, but I think it's all Storm from here.
I 100% agree with you. The big outs for the Roosters, no Billy Smith, no Manu, and no Swalee. So that's their back. That's their, like, three of their back line gone. They played their final last week. I expect another big game from Tedesco. I'm so happy that Justin Olm's back. Xavier Coates is obviously out. The other centre, I can't say his last name. Tomapia, something like that.
He's been playing really good.
He's a big out, but I just love Justin Lom. I think he runs the ball hard. He doesn't take any bullshit. He plays hard and fair. And from what talking about Justin Lom, when he was a kid in PNG, he used to play footy with a Coke can or Coke bottle filled with dirt. He didn't have a footy. To say coming from PNG to the NRL, like living his dream, playing NRL.
Oh yeah.
I've got mad respect for him. I think he's a great player, and I'm so excited to see him play. I hope he carves it up. Munster Hughes. I expect them to be better. Harry Grant, like they've got strike power all over the Storm.
Yep.
And I think the Roosters, they've limped in. You know that last week will take a lot out, big injuries. So yeah, I'm gonna tip the Storm. Are you tipping the Storm hold the ball?
Yeah, I'm tipping the Storm to win this game here for sure.
You, Darren?
I'd have to go for the Storm.
Yep. We done this last week, didn't we? We tipped the Storm, and then they all went terrible. So let's hope we haven't put the mockers on them. But
that's it.
Yeah, I don't see the Storm playing two bad games in a row. The Saturday game. This is the worst thing about finals is there's only two games. What am I going to do? I'm not going to clean the backyard. No way. I might watch replays. So the Warriors play the Knights in Auckland. So it's going to be massive over there. What's your thoughts, hold the ball, and who's your tip?
Yeah, just give a quick little bit of general just background as well on the scam. The tickets sold out, and I believe in the first 20-30 minutes.
Yeah.
There's the seat done. That's it. Like, there's literally no more tickets left. So yeah, it's a big occasion here. Obviously, it's the first finals we've hosted as well, by the way, since 2008. So it's been a bit of a long journey for us. But yeah, looking at this game here, again, you know, we got Sean Johnson back, touch wood. I'm still not sure. I mean, you know, Warriors came on the post saying that, you know, things are looking positive, but I just don't know. I really don't know. You know, and obviously the likes there, you know, Walker goes back to the bench there, Tabanga as well. Overall, this game here, I don't think there's as much pressure on the Warriors as probably people may make out to be. The reason why I say that is because we're at home, but at the same time, I think because there's just so much positive vibes going there, I almost feel like we have a chance to just play a free style of footy, I think, anyway. I don't think the pressure is too bad on us there. But again, can't disrespect the Knights here. They've got a very good, solid team. Again, virtually the same as last week, too. Dominic Young, Bradman Best, all that stuff. It's going to be a tough game, but I think I'm leaning towards Warriors to pull it off at the end.
So, yeah, the big out for the Knights is Jackson Hastings is out.
Right.
I think he's been pretty good this year. Adam Clune comes in, but when he comes in, he kind of does a job. Yeah, I'm tipping the Warriors. I think home, that they're going to lift another gear. If Sean Johnson does play, and I'm guessing he will play because he'll have a needle or something if he has to. I'm not expecting him to pull out. Yeah, I just think the forwards for the Wars will dominate. And Dylan Walker, when he comes on off the bench, when he plays in that middle role, he just adds so much in attack. So, yeah, I think the Warriors, I don't think it'll be a big win because the Newcastle will have Kalen Ponga, who's Kalen Ponga, obviously. But, yeah, I think 1-12 Warriors, massive crowd. And then when they win, it's just going to get more massive in New Zealand. And they deserve it after not just this year, but the whole through COVID thing when they were staying in Australia.
Yes,
and
yeah.
They deserve good vibes. I've not met a Warriors fan that isn't a nice person. I've met other teams' fans that you just, like, don't want to talk to them because they're pricks. But all of this most, I know a few Warriors fans, I know thousands, but they all seem so, like, rugby league fans. And when they're playing bad, they say, we played bad. When they play good, we play good. Like, they don't want to bullshit about, oh, it was the ref, you know, oh, the ref stuffed us there. So, good luck to the Warriors. Darren, who's your tip for the
Warriors?
Warriors up the Waz. Yeah. All right, so we'll have a quick break and we'll come back with a league podcast.
Rampage League Podcast. That's what you're listening to with Simon holding the ball and me, Darren. Now, this is going to be interesting. I'm looking forward to this conversation. Should the female NRLW players who play for the Cowboys, should they be called Cowgirls? I'll open it up to our panel here.
Okay, I'll have a go first. So I thought of this the other day. I was watching the girls game and I'm like the Cowboys versus who they were playing. I'm like, Cowboys, surely we can call them the Cowgirls and they can have a whole new logo. Because I think everyone has to be, like, back in the day, everyone was just sportsmen like. But these days, it's what's the word I'm trying to be diverse with their stuff. So, should be called the Cowgirls. I think it'd get more females involved in rugby league. I'm not 100% sold on it. Like, obviously, the Cowboys have a history, but I just think it'd be cool have the NRL team the Cowgirls instead of the Cowboys. Hold the ball. What is your thoughts?
Yeah, look, I think for mine that it should just be leave it as Cowboys. One of the reasons why I think you sort of touched on it just briefly for the history, but I think for mine it's really important to take note of that Cowboys history as well. And obviously, you know, in today's age, you know, equality and gender, which I definitely believe in, but at the same time as well, I feel like, you know, regardless of male or female putting on that jersey for the Cowboys, I think the name should still be there. I wouldn't really change it personally. I really think it signifies, you know, the club's history, but at the same time as well, I suppose progress, right? You know, Don't worry about the fact that this girl or guy wearing the Cowboys jersey. I think that the name itself should mean more than just the gender, in my opinion.
Yeah. Also, they could also have just maybe some a mascot. So you have a cowboy mascot and a cowgirl mascot, and they go around to the kids and they've got both of them. They'd be the Cowboys, but still have the cowgirls kind of, because it's a girls' team. They're cheerleaders. They could just, I'm guessing they have cheerleaders. They could have, instead of just having cheerleader girls, they have girls and boys instead of just that. Like, I definitely agree with what you're saying, like Cowboys, but it would be interesting if they changed it to the Cowgirls. And then to saying that, the Roosters, because a rooster is a male chicken.
Yep.
What would we call? Could we call the Sydney chickens? The Sydney
hens?
Sydney eggs? I don't know. Something like that. Yeah, should we just kick them out all completely and bring back the Rams? That's what I say.
Yes.
Oh, God, I'd do anything to get the Rams back.
Absolutely.
Yes. I'm actually surprised in today's culture, it has not been brought up by someone else.
Someone would have thought of it. Like, if I thought of it, I don't think much. But, like, someone would have said, oh, hold on a sec. Cowboys? They're girls. What are we doing?
Yes, yeah.
Paul Kent. Oh, no, he can't talk, can he? Oh. Gordon Tallis, I don't think he would think that either. I'm sure someone in the media would be like, we can make a story of that. Maybe in the off season, when there's nothing happening, they'll go, oh, hold on a sec, the Cowgirls. Yeah. And I'll say, oh, that was me, Rampage League podcast. I brought that up.
Absolutely. Well, how about we open this up to our listeners? I'll put it up as a question on our podcast page. And also, if you listen to the podcast on Spotify, you're able to leave us a voice message. So go on to Spotify and leave us a voice message and let us know what you think. Should the Cowboys, the women who play for the Cowboys, be called Cowgirls, or do you think they should just stay with the Cowboys? Yeah. So let us know, listeners, and we'll put the best, and we'll talk about it next week, and we'll put the best messages
in the podcast. Yeah, we'll be good to hear people what their thoughts are, because obviously it's me just randomly thought of it, and I'm like, oh, we'll talk about that in the podcast. We'll go on with me and hold the ball. We'll go through our game of the week, so the last week being the finals week one. Hold the ball, what was your game of the
week? Yep, look, my game of the week, it's a few close ones between the two, but I think I can't go past the Knights and the Raiders being the game of the week for me.
Yep, 100%, I agree. I know what my wife would have said. She would have said the Panthers game, but she's not here. She's in bed. She's sick, so we don't have to hear that. But, yeah, it could have went either way, that game. We've talked about it before, but, yeah, it was a kind of a nail-biting finish. It kind of, most of the game was a bit, it was okay. And then that last, it just got me, I got hooked. I was so close to the TV. I was nail-biting. So that was my game of the week. Player of the week. Who was your player of the week last week?
If I'm to pick a player of the week from, you know, out of all the games, I think for me, Look, I reckon for me it has to be Nathan Cleary. I really look, despite the fact that, you know, he absolutely, you know, slammed my team, I just thought the way he controlled the game, the pace, you know, it was on his terms. It was just that sort of classic Cleary footy that we've come accustomed to, particularly when he plays well. I thought he was just a general, if you will. There wasn't much to get past him then. He was absolutely sensational over the weekend. Unfortunately, but at the same time, respect to Cleary.
Yeah, 100%. So my player of the week, I'm going to go for a Broncos player just because they played so good. I'm going to go Payne Huss. I think he had like 16 carries, 180 metres, 77 post contact metres, and he just got them on the front foot, aggressive, and player of the week for this week. I do love Reece Walsh saying that. I think he's great. But I was going to say Reece Walsh, but I gave him last week, and my eyebrows are perfect, aren't they? They're perfect eyebrows. How did he do it? I should go to the hair salon and go, give me a Reece Walsh. And they go, haircut. I'm like, no. I want them brows, you know.
The brows.
Okay, this was going to be interesting, Wild the Ball. This is going to, it's going to be hard for you, I think. So who's your grub of the week?
Goodness. Okay. You know what? I reckon this week, it may even be yours too, I reckon, but you probably can't go past Jack Wyan, right?
Yes.
I don't know. That's just... Geez, he knows how to work a crowd, doesn't he, when they're not on the side?
They all built him so much, weren't they? After that bite.
Yeah.
We didn't even talk about the bite. Oh, my God, we should have put that earlier. Yeah. The old bite. Yeah. He's hungry. Yeah. And he got 3 weeks for it too, so there you go.
I thought that was a light sentence, really.
Yeah,
I thought six
for sure.
Oh, very surprised by that one.
Okay, so I'll go on my grub of the week. And this is going to be interesting because he didn't even play. But my grub of the week is Latrell Mitchell. There you go. Latrell Mitchell. Why? Because he's my grub of the week every week. So that's my grub of the week. And Darren's grub of the week, I'm going to say it for him, is Latrell Mitchell as well. There you go. Shay, your grub of the week is Latrell Mitchell. So, we take the piss out of him, but, yeah, he's a good player. He's a good player.
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right, well, go on with the... I seen it this morning break on Facebook. It was the NRL Grand Final Entertainment. Have you heard about this, Hold the Ball?
Yeah, I have. Yeah.
Tina Turner musical to headline NRL Grand Final. I'm like, come on, what are we doing? AFL have Kiss, one of the greatest rock bands ever.
No more time.
Have a Tina Turner musical.
Yeah.
I always think before a game of rugby league, you want to get pumped up, you know, a bit of rock, you know, something fast. Yeah. You know, like Cold Chisel done a few years ago. Like, it doesn't have to be Cold Chisel every year, but like, there's a lot of bands out there. Like, a lot of acts too. It doesn't have to be just rock. It can be. I just don't think Tina Turner's like. Obviously, that song "Simply the Best" will the best. That's gonna be great.
Yeah.
But after that, everyone's gonna go to sleep. You know, like, if it was Tina Turner, different story. Like, it'd be great, but it's obviously not. It's Tina Turner musical, and. Every year, it seems AFL just outdo the NRL in entertainment. Except for, I can't remember his name. Oh, I lost it. We talked about it earlier.
Meatloaf.
Meatloaf.
And I would do anything for love. I'd run right into hell and back.
That was the only year that they stuffed it when Meatloaf was on. Did you see that hold the ball when Meatloaf was entertainment?
Yeah.
It's pretty bad. But yeah, I think they could hope it's not just Tina Turner. They pull out something else. I went to the 2020 grand final and Amy Shark was the entertainment. And she's good. Like, she was entertaining, but she just didn't get the crowd going. It kind of like, people were singing, but it was just really quiet. Who would you have hold the ball? Who would you have as your grand final entertainment this year? If you could pick someone and they said you're up, who would you have? I'd love to hear it.
You know what? This might be a bit left field, but you know, obviously more of the clean music, but I wouldn't mind a bit of Eminem. I think he'll rock the stage.
I was actually dead set thinking the same thing. I was thinking NFL Super Bowl when he came on with like Dr. Dre and that. Like, he'd cost heaps, but like, he could pump the crowd up a whole lot, and they could have him, and then you could have so many other guests, because you can kind of have any with Eminem, can't you? Like,
oh, you could very easily, absolutely.
Imagine that, Eminem. I'll pull one out for me. Way left of field that no one's gonna like. Slipknot. Oh, imagine that. Get your medal on. Oh,
well, talking about, you were just saying that you were hoping that they'd have other guests. Reading the press release on the NRL website, the entertainment lineup on Grand Final Day also includes two performances from Australian rock band King Stingray. Five-piece from Northern Territory.
Never heard of him. Never heard of King Stingray. Have you heard of King Stingray, Hobbleball?
Oh, look, you know, vaguely. And that's just through the advertising of the NRL. They've been pumping up a little bit, but no, besides that, no idea who they are.
No idea.
I've got a feeling they're also tied to the... I think the AFL have been using them
for
their promotion. And, so they'll perform both English and Yolngu Matha languages.
Indigenous language,
yeah.
Yeah, it could be good, but just when you look at the AFL KISS... Oh, imagine if we, imagine we had Eminem and Slipknot. That'd just blow up. They could perform together. I'm pretty sure they could do it like a melody or something. Like, and it would cool. Get you pumped, because most people love Eminem. I don't really know many people. I think a lot of people know who Slipknot are. Like, they wouldn't know all their songs, but there's a few songs that people would probably know. and it'd get people revved up for Waz grand final victory, I think. Yeah.
Just leaving entertainment for a sec. How do you feel about having the NRLW grand final on the same day?
I think that's great. I think that's really good. The girls, I watch most of the girls' game because I think this year it's been so good to watch, and they don't get big crowds really.
No.
Like, I think the NRL have kind of, the scheduling of them games has been a bit poor because sometimes it's just an NRL game and there's nothing else on, so no one's gonna and no one's gonna really go watch it. If they have a doubleheader, like, I think for the grand final, if they have it, they're gonna have hopefully half the grand full, and they deserve it because it's been entertaining. Like, it's been so far the season's been great. Like, the Roosters are up near the top. They had a look in it. Like, it's a lot closer than I expected. What's your thoughts, hold the ball, on the women's game?
Yeah, in the grand final. Yeah, look, you know, the aim is for more exposure and more eyes, and you know, there's another place, right, for you know, to be, then obviously, you know, to sort of come under the you know, the men's NRL final there. So I'm all for it. I think it'd be good. And yeah, like you said, you know, the women would have definitely deserved it there. So why not? It'd be a good experience for them.
100%. And the best part about the NRLW teams is you look at the ladder and you look right down the bottom, Parramatta. That's all I'm happy about. Last. Yep. I love seeing that.
Yes.
One win. It's so good.
Wow.
It's funny. I was looked the other day when they played. I was like, I should put a cheeky bet on them because they haven't won a game. And I'm like, nah, they won't win. And they won. I was like, they're paying like $7. I could have won a couple of bucks. But yeah, it'd be good to watch it's like a build-up. It'd be like, watch NRLW, build you up, have this musical come on, put everyone to sleep, and then bring out the big guys. And yeah, hopefully by then, obviously, the Waz will be in there and hopefully the Panthers, I'm hoping. But yeah, don't count the chickens yet. They've still got to win the prelim.
That's it. Definitely.
Yeah, so that pretty much brings it up for our podcast. Thanks, Hold the Ball, for dropping by. Do you want to just give your Facebook and your Instagram and your YouTube page a bit of a plug?
Yeah, look, you can find me, Hold the Ball, on my YouTube, as well as Twitter and Instagram. Again, Hold the Ball. Rugby league content mainly. A little bit of AFL on the side, but yeah, mainly rugby league. So yeah, follow me there. And yeah, I'm looking forward to actually doing more collabs with you guys. So, and I enjoy the stuff you do there, Rampage Podcast, for sure.
Definitely, and when you're in Adelaide next week, we better catch up for a beer because I'm meant to do that. Absolutely. Origin came around, but you got COVID, so
ruined a lot. Yeah.
But yeah, definitely, if you listen to Hold the Ball, his podcast and his YouTube, and even his Facebook, he's just very knowledgeable on rugby league, and we're very honoured to have him on the Rampage League podcast. And hopefully, we'll see you again next week. And
thank you.
We'll have Shay back next week. So pay yourself for the Panthers. Also, make sure, I'm going to tell you this again, jump on that petition and jump on the petition and sign the petition. Check us out on Facebook. We've got the Jumbuck Army Facebook group, so you can join that. And just support rugby league in South Australia. If you're in South Australia, I've seen it around, wear your jerseys. If you want to talk to us, send us a message and we can get just one of them Rampage shirts, get them nice and cheap for you. So won't be too expensive. Oh yeah, Hold the Ball, I'll send you one too. I'll give you a Rampage League podcast shirt coming to your house shortly.
Love it, absolutely.
All right, thanks for joining us, guys. Darren, you have anything to add before we go?
No, just thanks, listeners, and yeah, just make sure you listen to the podcast on Spotify and let us know what your thoughts about the Cowboys or Cowgirls.
Yeah, have a good weekend, guys. Have a good week, and I'll see you all next week.
Up the Waz.
Up the Waz.
Go the Rams. Adelaide to bring it out from their own line. And met by some very willing Auckland defence. And pushed back a couple of metres. Herod Walters just goes from dubbing half to pick up Darren Doherty. Doherty, 25 metres out from his own line. As now the Adelaide Rams make their way out onto Marathon Stadium for the first time.